Welcome to another edition of the Fallscast, brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cogga Falls, Ohio. It's Sunday, April 30th, as we're recording, and it's been an interesting couple of weeks.
Yeah, it woke up and it was like raining like crazy, which is why my head hurt yesterday.
The forecast is for like eight more days of rain. So, but it was actually not bad yesterday afternoon, and I was able to mow the grass before it started raining again.
I know, it's crazy.
Ohio, yeah, thank you.
Ohio,
yep. April.
By the time it finishes, stops raining, our lawn will be so tall we won't be able to mow it.
I had to raise the level on my my lawnmower so I could get through it.
We did get a new electric lawnmower. That's new for us.
Oh, did you? Kathy got one last year. You like it?
Yeah, I love mine.
Yeah, I love mine too.
It's a lot quieter. I like the fact that it's quieter.
Can you even hear it run?
You can hear it. I mean, the blades are spinning, you know.
Okay.
But you don't have that loud, you know.
Combustion
engine. You don't have an internal combustion engine, so it's not loud. So that way.
Yeah.
Electric motor itself doesn't make a lot of noise. It's the cutting, the actual cutting and the blade spinning.
That's the sound you're hearing. Okay.
Yeah. I'd say it's half as loud.
At least half.
I'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot lighter than pushing a regular mower, too.
Is it?
Ours is self-propelled, but you don't have to use a self-propel all the time. But
do you feel like you have to use it with it, a bit of being that lightweight?
On and off, we do, depending on, because it's just easier when you're, pushing it in some areas, but you don't have to, no. But you can go.
Do you have two batteries, Kathy? Do you have two batteries in yours?
Really? We only have one. But I do want to get a backup battery for it. But the backup batteries are expensive, too.
Well, you can actually Google online. You can buy an aftermarket battery on Amazon, and they're like a third of the price.
And they're
good quality. And
are all the batteries the same, like electric lawnmowers? Do they have different types of batteries, or are they all the same?
Well, each brand has its own specific proprietary battery.
They're probably made of the same material.
And they're rated by AH, by 6AH or 10AH or whatever. That's how much capacity the battery has. The bigger the number, the more capacity the battery has. And also more expensive they are. But typically, a new battery for our lawnmower, like brand name, would be like $100, $120.
And how long would that last?
An aftermarket one's like $50, $60.
I think it's like 45 minutes, but it only takes me like 20 minutes to mow my grass. Yeah. Mine doesn't have a automatic option, so it's only push.
Yeah, our lawn is too small to even bother having it.
100 by 40, so.
I find self-propelled mowers, when you turn the propel part off, they're much harder to push, and they're also a lot heavier physically because the mower has to be heavier. It's got more moving parts. Whereas if you have one that's not self-propelled, they're much lighter and they're easier to push around, I find. Yeah. It's not even necessary. I mean, if you can walk.
So if it doesn't have that component at all of the self, you're saying.
Not mine.
Lighter. Turn it on and off. It becomes lighter. Oh.
Yes, it's lighter.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. Physically more lighter. It's physically easier to push than a self-propelled.
Kathy has that big backyard, so she probably uses it mostly for that.
Yeah. So a lot bigger. Ours is,
And
it's still a lot lighter than our gas mower was. And you don't, using the self-propel makes the battery use up faster.
Okay.
So you really don't have to have it, but sometimes when you're close to the end, I mean, certain areas when I'm doing the back, I do, but you don't have to use it.
That's another reason why I opted for the non-self-propelled, because I figured half your battery energy is going to go to pushing the lawnmower around, and it's also weighs more, so it's going to make the battery not last as long. That's my thought process. Also, it was like $100 cheaper.
Yeah. Our machine has two slots. It has one for the battery, and then it has one for the battery, a backup one to sit in. But it's not, you'd have to switch them when the other one dies. But I've only used it twice and it hasn't died at all. I've been able to mow twice on one battery.
Well, that's good. Well, I got a double lot. So usually I can do all of the front on one charge and then recharge and do, mostly we can get most of the whole back done on one charge.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you got a big yard.
It depends on how much you use that, self-propel though too. But I would like to get a backup battery for that because you got to wait for it to recharge and be ready for a break. It takes longer to recharge than just a typical break. But
it's 2 to 3 hours, maybe 4 hours, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or 2 to 4 hours typically to recharge the battery.
And usually by then you're ready to do something else.
Yeah.
But Patrick did it last weekend. Yeah. And then to start, it's push button start, which you could get that on the mower too, regular mower too. But It was just our other one was.
You don't have that strength where you're like.
No. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That was too hard for my shoulder to and my back to fight with it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
When you're getting started, then you're like, okay, now I got to push it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love mine.
Huh. Back to you, Bart.
Sorry. So we went, took that conversation.
Yeah, we're still in the introduction phase.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
You've heard who's all on the show today.
Hello, howdy doodly doo.
Oh, there you go. Hello. I'm missing my better half today. Oh. So he's out sick. Our daughter came home with a cold and decided to give it to him. So far, I'm good. Fingers crossed. But
take your vitamin C and echinacea and zinc.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Be sure to send your feedback. Tell us what you think of the show and of the paper. You can send us your comments on Facebook at Falls Free Press. You can review us on whatever podcast catcher you use, in which I just discovered our last episode. We've had how many plays did we have? We had a lot.
Yeah. 20.
I just said it and it was and then
the double digits. Woo-hoo!
It was double digits. So thank you everyone for listening.
Yeah.
You can also.
Our Colorado friends came back.
We're thankful for the 29, but the fact that that's a lot makes me a little sad.
Oh. Oh, well.
I haven't checked the other ones like Spotify and stuff. I don't know. We might have more on there.
Well, I would hope so.
I bet we do.
I would hope. Yeah.
Maybe there's like 7,000. Who knows?
You know, right? Ooh.
But then you can also email us. That includes if you'd like to volunteer to help with the paper or the show. Mm-hmm. What email address is that, Suzanne?
FallsFreePress@gmail.com.
Awesome. So, got anything else to talk about before we hop into the roundtable?
I think we covered a lot.
We covered a lot.
Did, yeah.
To the round table. The ribbon cutting for Paddle Park was just this last week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I missed it, but
it's me cute. Too. It's kind of cute. I mean, you guys got down and looked at it. It's kind of cute.
Yeah. It is cute.
It is nice.
It's a fun little spot. It made the news because one of my colleagues who lives in North Olmsted saw it and sent me the link. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so I think it was news. A clever way to use all of those. I mean, we got them for free, right?
Because there were customer returns that were defective and they couldn't resell them. So they just gifted them to the Cuyahoga Falls.
Yeah, it's so a cute little advertisement for what our city can offer.
I think Jackson might even be a local company. Jackson Township, I think that's.
I think you're right.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Well, go definitely check it out. I mean, it's a cute thing. And it does. It's a good advertisement of, you know, our river and the what we have to offer. So.
There's a lot of designers, Karen designers on Facebook saying, you should paint the sidewalk blue in front of it and you should put a mural and I don't like it. And there, you can't fit it. Somebody's going to break him and all this. So I was like, Jesus, just enjoy it. You
opinions are like assholes. Whiny right? little Everybody babies. Has one.
It's better than it was. And if somebody said, no, it's not better. I was like, he was a shithole. There was nothing there. It was like,
there was nothing there. Yeah.
I was going to get mugged when I walked back in the corner.
I never thought I was going to get mugged, but it was definitely it was not
inviting at all. It was
no, it was not.
Unattractive no. dead space. So
yeah.
It's cute now and interactive. So
yeah,
and colorful.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we go from that to the cost of the new school is going to, we always knew that it was going to be more than what they originally planned, but it's a lot more. Than they originally planned.
It's like 18 million more than what they originally were thinking about. And that's, it's not surprising, right? And because, you know, with COVID, all costs are going up. I mean, if you go to your local lumber yard or whatever, you know, cost of material is expensive, right? I mean, everything is going up. So, I mean, cost of labor, cost of material, everything like that. But, you know, they do put a contingency, usually, about 10% or so of the cost of it. And it's kind of our slush fund. And it sounds like this isn't going to have to go to the voters to give more money. They're figuring it out.
Yeah. They've done some restructuring of the physical footprints and they did say they weren't going to have to come back to voters. So fingers crossed that it keeps going. I mean, they've kind of just broken ground. And when they said that it's 18 million over, is it $18 million right now, or is it encompassing the whole project that it's $18 million over? That's what made me my eyebrows pop up, because I don't know what that number was encompassing.
It should encompass everything from start to finish. However, you know, they're going to have to look at it. You know, they're going to have to continue to look at it.
Yeah. It's $18 million over what their initial plan was.
Okay. Yeah. So 20 to 25%. And they said, I was reading the article, they said some of the overages, you know, to compare have been like 40% over. So, you know, it could have been much worse. And
this is totally typical of doing a construction project. Anybody that has done a construction project, Steve, you guys just did your bathroom. You know, that's how it is, right? Yeah, I mean, we all understand that. Yes. Yes. You can be the best planner and understand things, but you cannot predict everything, especially when you're talking about a multi-year project.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I'm happy to see that they're not coming back to the voters to ask for more money.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I thought they planned in a lot of that, the cost rise, and they expected it. So they had it. It's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're handling it.
It's like a slush fund. It's a contingency. It's usually about 10% of it or so, they say. Usually, I mean, that's just kind of what they do of the rainy day kind of, you know.
Yeah. They did say they made it, instead of more sprawling and having two floors, they made it three floors. So to shrink the footprint and save money. I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. And that was because of, you know, when this was voted on, we decided to do it. That was before COVID, right? I mean, years before that. Yeah. So they had to kind of like tweak it a little bit and make it where, you know, the costs were going to still stay within what, you know, the state will be willing to pay and what we voted on. So, you know, as soon as I saw that too, my eyes got big, you know, and I used to work in that kind of industry and I was like, oh my gosh. But then, you know, I took a step back and realized that's typical. And with the rising costs of everything, which was unpredictable. I mean, when we were doing this, we did not predict to have a worldwide pandemic, right? I mean, that wasn't anything in anybody's mind that was going to happen. Yeah. So,
I mean, when was the last time that happened? What, the 19th, like 19?
Not in our lifetime. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh. Yep.
So, yeah, they said they'll be finished opening like 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is coming.
You know, we live by it. And, you know, I go and I, you know, go up there and walk and, you know, just to kind of look to see where they're, you know, advancing. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's kind of exciting. I mean, I look at the drawings of it and I mean, it looks beautiful. I mean, I can't wait for it to be done. It just looks like a beautiful space. And the football field, ugh.
Yeah,
it looks marvelous. So I'm, you know, excited to see everything and how it goes. And
it'll be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Exciting times.
Only if the only state would only fix the property tax funding issue.
Yeah. Well, that's decades there. Ugh. That's never going to happen.
Next, Ward 4 Councilwoman Mary Nichols Rhodes was recently selected just this past week's city council meeting to fill the council at large position left vacant by Tim Korbach. This in turn leaves a vacancy in Ward 4, which per council rules, the party central committee will be meeting to select her replacement.
So that's my ward. That's Mike and ours.
He retired, correct?
Unexpectedly. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's what I heard, was that they weren't expecting him to leave. Yeah. I don't know if he was running again. So I think that it was expected for him not to run. But was it expected that he was going to leave this soon? So I hope everything's okay with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe. All I know is that supposedly he quit his job and then quit the council pretty close together. So I'm done. I'm retired. That's it.
Oh, my. Well, I hope he's all right and his health is okay and everything with his family's all right. I mean, that's, you know, it does kind of leave your scratching your head on what happened. But, you know, hey, they scrambled, they got it fixed, you know, they're able to keep us, you know, keep a representative there for us as, you know, council at large. And now they just need to see what to do with Ward 4, which is, like I said, which is our district. And I love Mary's been great. She's going to do great as an at-large seat.
I think she'll be successful.
Oh, absolutely. She's very approachable. And anytime I had questions, I would, you know, message her, and she didn't know the answer. She was like, let me find out. And she always got back to me, you know, so, and she's very friendly and, you know, kind of personable, and you're able to kind of, you feel like you can go up there and talk to her about stuff. She just has that kind of approachability. So yeah, I wish her luck, and I'm hoping that Tim is doing all right. Maybe he's just said, maybe he's everything that we all probably feel sometimes, like, you know, screw it, we're not doing this anymore.
Well, you know, he's been doing it for so long. You get to be a certain age and you're, you know, you're, I'm done.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm done. I just
don't want to do it anymore. And
well, we appreciate all of his service and stuff to the city and, you know, everything that he's done. So we wish him very well and we wish good luck to Mary.
Do you know what, is there a timeline that they have to select a new council person for?
Actually, the committee met last week.
Oh, and who, oh, okay.
So they're going to announce this week.
Oh, okay. So that was quick. That was candidates. Like a week turnaround.
Do we have any insight on who it might be?
It's Joe Sigforth.
Joe Sigforth.
Is that the guy that was running?
Yeah, he is the Ward 4 candidate.
Oh, okay. Awesome. So he's going to get a little heads up there.
Yeah.
Because will he have to run again at the whenever the next election is?
Yeah, but then it just won't be for re-election.
He'll get incumbent.
Regular. Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. He'll have that space in there where he's worked.
Name recognition.
Next Saturday, May 6th at the Natatorium is the Spring Sustainability Expo from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. At the expo, high school urban agricultural students will be there with free home garden starter kits, plus plenty of information about composting, recycling, zero waste lifestyles, and more.
Okay, first I think we need to address that next Saturday is May 6th. We are almost in May. I can't believe that. Second of all, that sounds really like a really good program.
And I like that it's not just here's your light bulb kit. It's here, you know, this here's how to start a garden.
And we're including the high school students. But I think that's totally cool that we have students that are coming in and participating. And yeah, that's a great event.
Yeah, especially for people who have black thumbs like me. More education is better.
Well, that's why we just buy stuff at the grocery store instead of turning.
I know. No one's going to want me on their apocalypse team.
Well, you've got another thing.
There are other things.
You can let somebody else do the gardening and then you do something else.
I won't
else.
Be able to feed you, but I'll be able to like patch up your wounds and stitch
you. I was going
to
say you can stitch people up. Yeah. I can't do that. I will not do that.
Take blood, maybe, you know.
I'm not taking blood because there'll be nowhere to process it. But I can, yeah. I can stitch it up if it's bleeding.
If somebody gave you the machines to do it, then they could.
So what's the joke of like you spend like $50 on, you know, the soil, the plant, the time that you put into it like that to get like a little bitty cherry
tomato.
You're like, woo! You know?
Yeah, you have to really have a large piece of property to make it
fruitful
and multiply.
Enough to grow for two to four people. It doesn't take very much.
You can grow
some vegetables.
This is more expensive than going to the grocery store, but it's, you know what? There is a certain taste to something that you grew yourself.
It does taste better. Absolutely.
It does. Yeah.
The city should also do like a little canning, teach canning.
You know, that's a lost art, right? I mean, my mom used to do canning and I couldn't tell you how to can right now. I know that I can tell you like the certain process, but I've never really done it on my own.
Traditionally, it's like the South, and because people have lots of gardens and land, and the grocery store is far away. So, it harkens back to the old days when food was plentiful and easy to get. It is now, so people just canned just so over the winter they'd have food.
But some people are canning now because food is so expensive.
That's part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
More reasons to have a garden.
Yeah, I went out in college. My girlfriend's grandmother, she had this giant shed in the backyard. And she would she would can all year round, and then she would stock it up, and then all winter she would pull out of it and use it.
I'm not a big fan of canned vegetables, like the flavor, so I don't know if I would use it or not. I mean, I suppose it would have been like if you don't have anything else, that's a smart thing. But we have food that's so readily available to us at the grocery store, fresh fruits and vegetables all season long. You know, it's definitely different, but. I don't know. I think it would be kind of fun to learn how to do that and have the ability. I mean, I would like to learn how to make like jam or, you know, I've made homemade tomato sauce before and canned it before. But so I guess the concept would still be the same, but I don't know. It'd be fun to do.
Yeah. It's a super cool program the city and the schools are offering.
Absolutely.
You can now, in addition to calling it in, you can now provide anonymous tips to the Cog Falls Police Department by typing CFPD and a message to 847-411. And if you need help remembering that, it is TIP 411.
Oh, that's cool. That's really neat.
Yeah.
I see two sides of this. It's positive for unless people abuse it, like being a Karen. That's the way I feel.
Yeah.
So, well, there's a lot of people in this. Oh my God, somebody's walking down my street. He looks sketchy. So you should need to send a cop out here. Well, oh my God, he's doing something terrible.
Yeah.
Well, he's taking pictures of something,
and oh my God, it's illegal. And you know, it's not illegal.
It could take away. It could help us free up resources if people are not calling it in. If you can now text it in or whatever, they can maybe look at it
and evaluated it and say, yeah.
Are we sending somebody out to investigate this, or is this stupid Karen?
Yeah.
You can also download the free Cuyahoga Falls Police Department mobile app and send it that way.
Ooh. And hey, they caught the kid that turfed Waterworks.
They did?
Yes, I saw that. A juvenile. So I don't know what's going to happen now, because it's already been repaired and fixed, but maybe lots of community service.
And everyone was calling for his head, too, in that thread.
I know.
Oh, please. We all did stupid things. Major stupid, but.
Yeah, he should definitely. Knew
it. Yeah. They can resaw the entire thing and make his parents pay for it. And they should take his car away and sell his car for the cost. And I was like, Jesus, you people just want to.
Everyone had a Karen opinion.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that's a great thing about America.
From a tree. You can turf the lawn.
No one said that. Anyway, the tip line made me think of that. So.
Well, anytime anybody ever finds something like that and they have a tip.
Yeah, there you go.
They can easily. Just text it in.
Tip 411.
Next up, this Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m., the Cuyahoga Falls Firefighter Memorial Foundation will be hosting a groundbreaking ceremony for a new firefighter memorial at Fire Station Number 1 on Front Street. This will include the restored bell being on display. This is also followed by a reception at High Hope Brewery, where a portion of Redline IPA sales will be benefiting the Memorial Foundation.
Oh, that's awesome. I love Hi-Ho, and I think it's great to have those kinds of gatherings to make memorials. I wonder where the bell is going to be. Do you guys know where it has it been there before, got repaired? What's the scoop?
No, it's going to be in that tower they're building down there. It was in the Oakwood Cemetery.
Oh.
A bell tower.
It's been there for a long time, and then they moved it to get it restored.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha. I didn't know they were building a bell tower. Where have I been?
And finally, the Downtown Pavilion and Amphitheater will be hosting the Harvest Yoga Well Fest on May 13th. Move your body downtown for some yoga, cardio, healthy eats, and learn how to live well.
I think that is so great. It's such a hippy-dippy, crunchy, progressive thing to do. I've never had anything like that downtown before. It was just remember the old days of, you know, drunken debauchery and people peeing in the corners of the downtown businesses on the Friday nights, you know, rocking on the river. And now we have yoga wellness. So
I know.
I think that's so amazing.
It is.
They should add those two things together.
Oh.
Just so you can have partying and drinking heavily and then also doing yoga.
Oh, man.
Suzanne, do you have some good news?
Hey, I do. Guys? Dora has been approved. So the designated outdoor refreshment area was approved at council. Everybody voted for it, which is really awesome. It has to go to.
Was it unanimous?
Yes, it was.
That's very cool.
It was. Yeah, absolutely. I thought there was going to be at least one negative, but I was surprised. It still has to be sent to the state of Ohio for review and approval. But the Dora will cover about 77 acres on a mile long stretch. It's going to be along 2nd and Front Streets, including concourses next to the Cuyahoga River.
So it's from Mose to Hi-Ho, right?
Yeah, Mose to Hi-Ho. Yep. Okay. Yep. So there's going to be is going to be a public hearing that they'll have in November to review the initial impact. So I guess it's kind of a trial. And then they'll evaluate it
after it goes into effect. Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yep. The only slight concern I have is people leaving their garbage, their empty cups everywhere. That's the only thing.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's so we'll have to see how it goes. I think it's a great idea.
It's long overdue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, it kind of goes with what, you know, the city's trying to make happen down there. Right.
Yeah. We'll put traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying they will suspend it for like Oktoberfest and all the festivals because they have their own liquor license just for that. And then the state law, because of state law, that wouldn't mesh well.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Oh, hey, guys, guess what time it is?
What time is it?
Arts, arts, Bart's arts, Bart's arts, Bart's arts.
Bart's arts.
That was good.
Oh, we missed our beatbox.
We did. It's not as good without Mike, but that's okay. We did. We tried. We tried.
The Cleveland Orchestra has received a $10 million gift from the Melton and Tamar Maltz Family Foundation, which will be used at Blossom to create a new separate rideshare lot for people getting picked up and dropped off for concerts. And this should hopefully help prevent the traffic congestion of everybody coming in.
That is so awesome.
I think that's such a great idea. Never thought about like doing an Uber or a Lyft to Blossom for a concert. That would be amazing. And then you don't have to worry about the parking lot and stuff this new drop-off lot. That would that's pretty awesome.
It is.
And then some of the rest of the money is going to be set aside to be used for improved pavilion seating, lights, and signage.
That is great. That is very great.
Thank you, Maltz Family Foundation.
Yeah,
for your absolutely. Gift. Yeah.
Next Saturday, Underhill Games on State Road will host a small pop-up Odd Mall event with games, geeky art, cosplay, and entertainment.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
The show goes from 12 to 8.
12 to 8.
Do you think that'll be inside or outside? Or
it'll
both?
Be inside.
Inside, okay.
Which it's still... They've got a bigger space than they used to have, but it's still not going to be it's going to be a very limited number of vendors.
Okay. I was going to say, it's not that large, but.
I mean, it's a decent sized store, but I mean, I don't think there'd be a lot of room for a lot of vendors.
No.
Where is it on State Road? If
the old Red Fox.
Next to the Red Fox Plaza.
Well, it's right in that plaza.
Oh, okay. Plaza, yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Is it next to the stained glass place or?
It's. I'm trying to think of where the stained glass place is. I think it's next to, because it's there, and then there's a clothing store, and then Dollar General.
Okay.
What's the name of the new Red Fox place?
Punts and Pints.
Okay.
Punts and Pints.
So next to Punts and Pints. Okay.
Which have excellent tater tots, only I wish their menu didn't advertise them as being huge, because they're not. They're just regular sized tater tots.
All right. Have you eaten anything else there?
It's been a long time since I had that, but I had a burger when I got those, and that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I remember you talking about that the burger was really good there.
Yeah, that was just after they opened.
We have to go check it out. We used to be, back in the early days, the heyday of Red Fox, we used to go all the time. We loved that place.
But they had good food.
They used to have good food. Yes, and then they slowly went downhill, and then we stopped going. And
We haven't been back since they've reinvented themselves, so we'll have to give it a whirl.
The Cuyahoga Falls City School District has been honored with the Best Communities for Music Education designation from the NAM Foundation for its outstanding commitment to music education for the sixth year in a row.
Woohoo! The music education program is so awesome in Falls. I'm glad they're getting recognized. Really awesome. They really, really have a good thing going.
Easily the best program in the Falls, in my opinion.
And finally, local author Dallas Nypaver. I apologize, Dallas. I know I'm probably saying your name wrong, but get back to me if you want me to review your book, because I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good to me.
She recently published her first book on April 5th, Sins of Our Fathers, which follows high school senior River Ellison, who works in his family's mortuary and must learn to traverse life through friendships and battles at school.
Wow. That would be a pretty tough family business.
Add something to the arts they announced this at the Democratic Club meeting. They talked about how they're going to put uplighting in on the Don Drum sculpture on Front Street, and they're going to have a dedication ceremony, and Don Drum's going to attend. And because I guess they actually haven't had an official dedication ceremony.
Did they not have one last?
No, spring? They didn't. They wanted to wait until the uplighting was in. They're putting special lighting in, and they want to have it at dusk and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they want to have it once it's a little darker out so they can see the impact. I remember.
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah.
Well, I hope that goes good. Yeah, because I remember the last time they were supposed to have one, and then they had to postpone it.
If we can circle back to your last point about our local author, is she having a book signing or anything? Or this is
she reached out to us and let us know about her book, and it sounds really interesting.
Okay, yeah, it does.
Can we get on Amazon?
You can order it on Amazon, yes.
I wonder if Shelf Life will have it too.
I need to let her know about this.
Yeah, that would be
absolutely. Did you guys go to the Lit Fest?
I went, yeah.
It was yesterday, right?
It was a Friday and Saturday.
Saturday, yep. I popped into the library yesterday to pick up a couple things, and it looked like there was a really good turnout.
There was. I got there about 1:00.
Yeah.
And it was hopping.
Oh.
It was. Yeah, I kind of forgot it was happening. And then I was like, oh, there's so many people at the library. What's going on? And then I walked in. I'm like, oh, yay. I forgot about this. So it was like a happy surprise that I kind of stumbled upon. Yep. And I'm glad that, you know, there was a really good turnout.
I picked up Mindy McGinnis's newest book.
Oh.
And then I also picked up a graphic novel that Dan Gorman, who he's not from the area. He's from down south, I believe. But he illustrated a couple of the stories in this graphic novel that all about Ohio legends.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, I missed that. I would have totally have gotten something like that. I wonder, is Shelf Life going to have that on there?
You know what? I don't think they have anything from him there, but he does a lot of stuff. Like, he fills in as an artist for like Marvel or Topps Cards or stuff like that.
Oh, man. Okay. So. Well, I'll have to look for it. Maybe,
but
if Shelf Life gets it, I will get it there. Yeah. If not, maybe I'll look for it on Amazon or something. That's
yeah,
cool.
Definitely. I haven't sat down and read it yet. It's basically my pile of books just keeps getting taller. And
Then,
of course, this morning, 2 came in on Libby. So it's like, of course.
Does that not happen all the time? I'm sorry, I'm going off the rails here. But, you know, I put things on hold. And then I have like 10 things on hold. And I don't have anything to read. So I have to like scramble for something because, you know, I'm trying to read I have a certain amount of books that I'm trying to read every year. And then as soon as I find something I'm reading, I'm in it 20 or so percent or whatever. And then 5 things come available at the same time and I have to put it back on hold. And I'm like, no. I mean, I don't know. Does that happen to you too? It drives me nuts.
I still have a pile of books from last September.
You know what? I think a lot of times readers, especially people that are like, you know, avid readers, we collect books, not necessarily, we're going to read them, but it's like the hunt and gather. We're looking for the book. So we have like a big pile of it. And then we're like, what do you read? And, you know, it's just, that's just kind of a thing that happens. It goes hand to hand where you're collecting books and you have this big list. I mean, it's fun. I don't know.
It's a healthy habit.
Yeah.
It is a healthy habit. I like to read on my Kindle now because I'm getting old and holding a book for a certain amount of time actually hurts my hands and my eyesight is not what it used to be. So I used to be so against Kindles because I'm like, it's the death of the book. I love the smell of the book, the feel of a book. It's just, there's something about it. Walking into a library or a bookstore or whatever, my dad had a massive collection of books and he was a avid reader too. So it kind of just gives me those warm and fuzzy feelings. So I was very anti Kindle for so long, but now, I mean, Mike bought me one and I use it because I can take the font up. I can brighten it up. I can lower, you know, depending on how well my eyes are because I work on the computer all the time too. So my eyes just get tired and, you know, I love it, but I still like collecting the physical copy of the book. Even if I read it on Kindle, if it's something that I just really resonated with me and impacted me, I love to find the actual book and, you know, put it on a bookshelf. And it's almost like art for me. You know, it's like, this is the stuff that I've read and I really love. And I don't know.
I go back and forth. I'm half and half, half Kindle, half paperback. I like them both.
I like hardback. I mean, I didn't used to like paper. I like the hard, like feeling of a hardback, you know, but it does get heavier and it's just harder to kind of hold for me.
And transport.
I mean, honestly, I can have like 10 books on my Kindle and transport it anywhere I go and it's lightweight, right? But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think there's good things with both. So, and there's books that I would have never picked up and read and have access to it if it wasn't for my Kindle. Like, you know, and Libby is a fantastic resource to be able to find books. And then Amazon, you know, unlimited Kindle and, you know, that's that kind of stuff. Books that you would not pick up typically. So Sorry, that's my rant.
There is never anything wrong about a rant about reading.
No, and it's a nice finish to our podcast.
I am 8 books ahead of my schedule of what I was supposed to read. Ooh, yeah, I'm like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I just hope I don't get like, I'll be like, oh, I don't have to read today because I'm 8 books ahead, and then I just start sliding downhill, and then I'm like.
We want to thank our listeners for joining us this week. Remember that we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees, for potential articles. If you'd like to volunteer with us, let us know. You can send all those out to us at, what's the email?
FallsFreePress@gmail.com.
So if you enjoyed what you heard, let us know. For now, we'll say goodbye and hope you join us next time.
Bye.
Later.
FallsCast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your call to Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.
You're muted.
Oh, I got Zoom bingo.
What?
Oh, welcome back.